points in the cause that time has erased, just as one learns more from the slain hero of a tragedy than from some brassy Fortinbras who comes in at the end to announce the victory and proclaim the future state of affairs. It was to the American South, of course, that Weaver turned for his tragic text. And like Professor Brooks, Weaver saw the sudden experience as a minority report to the bustling commercial optimism that had been celebrated as the American dream. Alone among sections of the country, the South had suffered military defeat. But the decision of 1865 had ironically imbued the Southern conditions with a tragic vision that speaks more directly to our present discontents than the facile progressivist dogma. Professor Brooks last night dealt with key elements of that tradition, especially its staunch adherence to revealed Christianity, its acceptance of the mystery of the sacramental view. In the South, there has been a piety toward the created order that is undismayed when the movers and shakers find the world unmalleable to their design. And the Southerner, with his acceptance of the unchangeable as providential, is not susceptible to the leveling tendencies of the modernist who holds in a certain disesteem the hierarchy that is everywhere to be found in the natural order. A hierarchy that reflects, in Weaver's phrase, that civilization is measured by its capacity to create and enforce distinctions. All in all, Weaver saw the Southern tradition as a mandate of the last non-materialist civilization of the Western world, a civilization, though failing, hardly expiring. But if it's true that the Southern tradition has not expired, it is also true that at a crucial juncture, it failed to carry its argument. Weaver contended that the South's great defeat was not Appomattox, but rather its failure to articulate the ground of its latent metaphysic. Here, Weaver may have been asking too much. It may be that a traditional society, in its health, is unselfconscious. And it may be that there is no impetus to explain a premise until the premise falters. As Yeats reminds us, things reveal themselves passing away. In any event, Weaver concluded that the Southern tradition would only be vindicated by the poets, artists, intellectuals, workers in the timeless. And surely that is what has happened. And that is why, to answer the initial question, why we meet this morning, we need to consider the nature of what is arguably the most distinguished literary flowering that the New World has seen. An incomplete roster of the authors would include Faulkner, O'Connor, Welty, Lytle, Brooks, Warren, Davidson, Ransom, one could go on, all three members of this panel. And we are fortunate to have with us to consider the nature of that literary flowering, a gentleman who is known to us through the pages of Modern Age and Ecclesiastic Review, from his books and articles and many publications, but who has never addressed the Philadelphia Society before. I speak of Mary Montgomery, who is professor of English at the University of Georgia, where he teaches writing and modern literature. He has directed workshops in writing throughout the country and has been assistant director of the University of Georgia Press. He's an editorial advisor of Modern Age and is on the advisory board of the Richard M. Weaver College in Glendale, South Carolina. He has published three novels, three collections of poems, four books of criticism, many articles, and Sherwood Sugden & Company has in press a three-volume work, The Prophetic Poet and the Popular Spirit of the Age, the first volume of which, Homage to Flannery O'Connor, is due out in early 1980. I ask you to welcome Ms. Montgomery, who will address us on the topic, In Defense of Evil.